We want to welcome you again. We do have guests among us. Mars Hill, that means there are special people among us. We got some work to do, okay? We got some work we need to do. We're thankful that you're with us. If you're here and you're from the local community, and some of you are, we're sending you a special invitation to come and get involved in the work of the Lord's church here at Mars Hill. We'll do everything we can to encourage you in your walk with Christ. You'll be a great encouragement to us. You just come be a part of this. We are so blessed this morning to have a group from the East 15th Street Church, Congregation of the Lord's Church in North Little Rock with us. And you're in for a really special treat this morning. One of my just favorite people in the whole world is going to deliver our message this morning. Brother Jeremy Ridgdale. I do pronounce your last name right, don't I?
No.
Okay. All right. How do you pronounce it, brother?
Ridgdale.
Okay. I pronounce it like it's spelled. He pronounces it like he wants to. But Jeremy and Jeremy's just one of those people, and I probably told him this, I don't know, because we spent a lot of time together over the last few months. I've probably told him this, but I don't know of too many people in my life that there was an instant closeness that I felt with a person the way I did with Jeremy. He's one of the hardest workers that I know. This is a busy man. He is a busy man. He's a student and a husband and a father, and I'm not putting those in order, but a businessman, just a servant of the Lord in all kinds of ways. I don't know of anyone anywhere that's busier than this man is. And yet, he said, hey, I want to help you, David. I want to help you with some things. And he has. So he spent a lot of time with me out at the camp and has done a lot of things out there. And we've been up on roofs together and those kind of things. And we've just solved the problems of the world while we're out there, haven't we? We've got them all solved. If they'd just listen to us, we'd have them all solved, wouldn't we? And this group has had the opportunity to spend yesterday and last evening over at the camp. And they said they were going to come today and worship with us, and I thought, what a great opportunity it is for us to hear Jeremy bring us a message from God's Word. We're thankful for him, thankful for his family, thankful for the congregation that he works for. Brother, you're at home. You're all at home. You're at home when you're here. You're with family. We intend to spend eternity together. So we're glad you're here, brother. We're looking forward to your message to us. Be sure you turn that on if you're going to walk.
Can you hear me? I'm just going to stay down here on the floor if y'all don't mind. I'm hot natured, so it doesn't take a whole lot for me to get worked up. I tell you, it's truly a privilege and an honor to be standing before you here today. It was the perfect time, I guess, for us. I have received several invitations from Brother David Riley, and the feeling is so mutual. When I first met him, probably about 9-10 months ago, at a gathering, at a fellowship, and it was just instant love. And he has been nothing but loving and kind to me and to everyone around me. And he's just a wonderful soul and a man of God and a wonderful preacher. And I thank him for this invitation this morning to be standing before you. I brought some guests with me, some friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. We come from the 15th Street Church of Christ in North Little Rock, where Brother James Gentry is the minister. And I serve under him as an assistant. And like he said, I'm a busy person. So the invitation had been extended to me several months back, and it's just hard to find time. But thank God for today. We found time and we had a chance to spend some time out there at the camp. We actually had a lot more people that were supposed to be here with us, but they didn't show up. And I'm glad, because we would have been extra busy cleaning up after them. And who wants to clean up? I'm thankful. I've been all across the country speaking and doing things of that nature. And also on behalf of the School of Religious Studies, where myself and also Brother Riley has taken classes before, we always extend the invitation. We're always looking for people who love the Lord and love the Word of God and love to study the Word of God. We try to enhance and change people's lives by the Bible for the sake of God. So if you're out there and you ever want to just take some classes that's convenient for your schedule, feel free to talk to me and we can get together and I can help you get enrolled. So take advantage of that. We'll be coming from the book of Acts this morning, chapter 19. And it's interesting because last night we stayed in the Berea cabin. And I was like, wow, we're staying in the Berea cabin and we're going to Mars Hill. And if anyone knows anything about that, that was Paul's second missionary journey. On this journey, he was in Berea, and he left Berea, and he went to Mars Hill. And they call Paul a babbler. And that's probably what I'll be doing this morning, so just bear with me. I don't have any special gifts or anything, so don't expect me to lay hands on anyone. That's a little Mars Hill humor. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 19. And I left my Bible at home, so I stuck with this tablet. So my normal reading is coming out of the NIV. Usually I prefer the New American Standard Bible, but that's okay, I hope. Okay. If you will, join me in verse 13. And we'll read down to about verse 16. And the scripture reads, "Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, 'In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.' Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. If I can leave a thought with you this morning, I want to express this message under the title, 'Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?' Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?" Paul, on his second missionary journey, he found himself in the upper coast. And he arrived at Ephesus. And it says that he found some disciples and asked them, had they received the Holy Spirit? And it was about 12 of them. And they told him, "We have not heard of a such thing as the Holy Spirit." He then imparted unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were believers and they had been baptized by John. And they were disciples of John. And he then baptized them, and then he laid hands on them, and they had received the Holy Spirit. And right after that, Paul went into the synagogues, and he was there for about 3 months. And he stayed there preaching. In some of your translations, it may even say disputing or debating. And during this time, he made some people very upset. They weren't so happy to have Paul among them. So it got to the point to where there was a tension in the area. But Paul found a sanctuary by the man named of Tyrannus. And if you look up Tyrannus' name, it actually means sovereign. So Paul found himself in a sovereign place in consideration to the work that he was doing for God. And then Paul was there for about 2 years. And he had the opportunity to speak there for Tyrannus in his school. And The word of God was spread throughout the whole region. There was not anyone in that area or that region that could say that they had not heard the word of God because of the infamy behind what Paul was doing. Not only did he impart the Holy Spirit to those that believed, he also sent out aprons and handkerchiefs to the ones that were suffering and that were sick. So the name of God was ringing in this area, even to the point to where some people heard about it. Now, if you go back a little bit further in the earlier chapters in this book, you'll also see a section where Paul had a paparazzi following him, if you will, and I'm just paraphrasing. People were following him to see what he was doing, to spy out what he was teaching and preaching. They was very interested, and they were more so concerned about what he was preaching and who he was preaching about. But then the miracles came, and they got caught up in the miraculous gifts that the apostles had, particularly Paul. And they said, we're going to follow him, which brings us to our current text. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? There are some people out there that was dispute whether or not we today possess the power of the Holy Ghost. I challenge that thought, not only by the great commission that God gives us in the name that we baptize, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I challenge that thought by the fact that we have a communication that no one else has. We have the ability to pray to God. And if anyone in here has ever had their prayers answered, I call that miraculous. I think God communicating with us is a miracle. I think his expression of being activated and working in our lives, I consider that to be miraculous. Some would disagree, but I challenge that thought. And I wonder, how can we deny the Holy Spirit in our lives? If not, what's our communication with God? How does God communicate with us? How do we share in his sweet communion without the Holy Spirit? With that being said, knowing that there is a Holy Spirit, we have to recognize that we have a spiritual enemy as well. There's someone out there who chooses to do wrong and evil towards us, to harm us both physically and mentally, but most importantly, spiritually. And we are affected by this, whether in sickness, whether in perils, whatever the case may be, we are affected by this internally. Here we see a case of someone that was infected by this evil spirit. We also see someone who is trying to emulate the spiritual nature that God gives us, the spiritual gift that God imparts to us. Whether you know it or not, you were called to serve God. And by doing so, you have an ability and a gift inside of you, having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, in which you have the ability to communicate with God, to share in God's ministry, to encourage and to strengthen others on their behalf. Where others fall short, you can lift them up. I want us to recognize these things. Here, Paul is on his journey and he's doing his work. And while doing so, there were seven sons of a chief priest named Sceva. And they called them vagabonds. And what it means by that is they basically went from place to place. So if we take the narrative that's already given to us, we can see these vagabonds had been following Paul around for some time now. They had been following him all through the region, all through Asia, wondering where he's going. Not to just refute his teaching, but to also steal his gifts, not knowing the power that he truly possessed having these gifts. And they took upon themselves serving as being exorcists. Now, to practice exorcism is one thing, but to be an exorcist is another. Paul was not practicing this. He was this by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. We have a lot of imitators out there today who would imitate being servants of God, who practice loving and serving God, who practice teaching his word in a sound manner, in a fashion in which would bring people to them. But the purpose is to actually serve themselves, not to pronounce who God is, not to teach who Christ is. The practice is for them so that they can become wealthy, mislead people, even destroy them altogether. We see it all the time. We see so many cases throughout the media and throughout the world where these people take advantage of people, treating them like they're nothing, misusing them, invading their minds with vain and foolish thoughts. We see it all the time. Here, these seven sons of a chief priest, they had a reputation. They were the sons of a chief priest. And naturally, that inclined them to be priests. They were in a position of authority. But the thing about it, as being chief priests, they were not in the area that they were designated to be in. They found themselves following Paul around. And by doing so, they took upon the job or the task of them performing exorcisms. This particular day, they met someone. They met someone that they were not expecting to meet. They met a man who was possessed by an evil spirit. And the spirit's response to them was, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?" I wanted to expose this particular passage because you can't fool an evil spirit. As a matter of fact, the nature of an evil spirit, it's inclined to adapt around those of the very same nature. Being possessors of the Holy Spirit, we have to be very careful on how we behave and how we interact with others, so that we're not overtaken by such temptations, so that we are not taken advantage of and put in a peculiar situation. You see, this particular evil spirit, he recognized these seven sons for who they were: pretenders, frauds, emulators. They didn't have any special gifts. They didn't have any reasonable knowledge. They didn't have anything pertaining to God. As a matter of fact, in the text, it goes as much as saying that it says, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?" I want us to see and notice one particular thing. The spirit did the communicating, but the man did the fighting. And I think that's very profound in our understanding. The spirit does the communicating, but the man did the fighting. We can see a separation of being here. Sometimes when we caught up in situations, our mind is telling us one thing, but we react totally different. This is what happened in the case with this man being taken advantage of by this evil spirit. Not only that, the evil spirit recognized them for who they were, and the evil spirit challenged them, contested with them, and left them beaten, bloody, wounded, and naked. I think sometimes as people of God, we underestimate the power of Satan and what he does to the world. not only what he does to the world, what he does to us. Sometimes he can take advantage of us and get the best of us and leave us in a bad situation that we would rather not be in. Sometimes we underestimate him so much that it affects the people around us. We allow him in such a way that the people around us are affected, and we are left picking up the pieces of the devastation that he's done to us in our lives. It's very important to us as Christians and believers to focus on the power of the Spirit that we are possessors of. It's very important for us not to be pretenders of the calling that we have been called to. Just like these seven sons being pretenders. Although they were the sons of a chief priest, they had notoriety based upon their father's position. But their father's position had been removed from him based upon the redeeming of Christ to all of the world and mankind. Power has been given to us based upon the redemption of Christ and his calling to mankind. We, as people of God, need to focus and channel in and hone this power, this privilege, and this authority that has been given to us. It's a whole world out there. And sometimes we place our primary focus on what's going on inside the walls, when our job is to be outside, calling the souls that are lost, redeeming them, reconciling them back to Christ. You see, Paul was on a missionary journey. Paul was going from city to city, teaching, pronouncing who Christ was. God gave him the power to do so, and it wasn't for Paul's glory. The text says that it wasn't for his glory, it was for the glory of God. And when you're doing things for the glory of God, he will give you this sovereign place that you need to express who he is. He went among them for 3 months. And it said, the text says that they were evil in speaking to him. It says that they became hardened. Their spirits became hardened. And this particular word, harden, is where we get our word for sclerosis, MS, if anyone knows what MS is. This is, and what that literally means is when your spirit becomes hard against God. And the longer that you are in a state of unbelief, the harder your spirit, your soul gets from accepting God's word. And look at the world that we're in now. It's apparent that the world is becoming harder and harder. They don't believe. They're not willing to accept it. It's not as easy as it was to evangelize and share the word of God now. And men are keep creating other avenues for people to understand something. And it's almost like a fast food restaurant. You just pull up at the window and they give you something and you drive off. This is what theology is today to a lot of people. You just pick up a book and read something and it seems like it makes sense. So you'll accept it. But this word that we have, it wasn't meant to be taken fast. It wasn't meant to just thumb through it and find something that you like. And then that's your staple, or that's the creed that you live by for the rest of your life. This word was meant to be cherished, treated like a precious gift. And it is indeed a precious gift sent from above for us to share in, for us to expound on, for us to educate ourselves with. And in doing so, we share with one another, we grow with one another, and we love one another. This is our protection. The words that we teach from this word, it's built to enable us to withstand those evil spirits out there. Because an evil spirit might approach you one day and not recognize you for what you were called to do. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who are we? I think we're in bad shape if there's ever a point in our lives where an evil spirit approaches us and not recognize us as being God's children. We will find ourselves in a state of devastation. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is when Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place. If it were not true, I would have told you." And I think about that and I reflect on that all the time. And I just wonder, it's almost as if I hear his voice in my head telling me that. And I believe him for that very reason. It's why I work so hard for him. Because I don't want to be the only one there. I want to share that with everyone. I believe it's important that we share that with everyone. Everyone deserves a chance at heaven. I'm not that selfish. My God is so big. He found grace for me. At one time, I was a vagabond, not for the purpose of serving anybody in particular other than myself. And I think it's very important for us to share that with everyone. Everyone deserves a chance. And we need to be the ones that give them that chance. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? If the evil spirit doesn't know who you are, you have an opportunity today to take on the gospel of Christ and to reveal unto the world that you are a child of God. Today is the day of your salvation. You may have heard a version of the word of God, just like those 12 men who were there when Paul met them. You may have heard something as it pertains to God. You may have even been baptized. But does your baptism carry with it the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? It's one thing to be baptized because someone said it was popular. It's another thing to be baptized because someone taught you something as pertains to God. Today is that day for your salvation. Today is that day for you to be recognized by the world as being a child of God. You come to God by hearing his word and believing it to be the truth, repenting of your sins and confessing the sweetest name on earth, Jesus Christ. You put him on in water baptism. And when you're confronted by those evil spirits, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You are a child of God. He will recognize you for who you are. He will know you are God's possession. You may do so by responding to the Savior's invitation as together we stand and sing.